From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The Democratic choice for the White House nominee is still too close to call. Senator Barack Obama has won more states and delegates. Senator Hillary Clinton won big states, including New York, California, and Texas. Both candidates are fighting hard to win in Pennsylvania next month. But there are still questions about voting patterns in some Harlem and Brooklyn voting districts. In these predominantly black districts, polls showed Obama initially didn't get any votes in some of the precincts. Later in the conversation, we'll talk to a Harlem voter who'll tell us about her voting experience. First up, we're speaking with Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent for the New York Times. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. So you wrote a story that ran the day after the New York primary in mid-February. There were initial allegations of voter irregularities. Can you tell us what the wisdom was at that time and kind of what you dug into?
Sure. A friend of mine who had been a poll watcher for Obama called and said, how did the election district in Harlem, in which he was the poll watcher, do? How did Obama do in that district? So I went back and checked by election district, something we usually don't do because it's not really necessary. We look at the larger assembly or congressional districts. And I said to Gordon Davis, who was the poll watcher and a former parks commissioner, my God, don't ever be a poll watcher for me. Hillary Clinton carried that district 141-0. And we both agreed that couldn't be, that had to be some sort of error, clerical or otherwise. And then I got hold of the Board of Election lists and discovered that there were somewhere near 80 districts in which Obama had not gotten a single vote. It just didn't seem possible, and I figured it was worth further investigation.
So what did you find out?
Well, I found out that most of that appeared to be clerical error. Why there was exactly a pattern that seemed to work against Obama as opposed to the other candidates, there are any number of explanations for that. One is that the way the ballot was constructed, his name was all the way over on the right, and Mrs. Clinton was first, followed by Bill Richardson and Joe Biden, candidates who for the most part did receive zero, and perhaps by 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, weary election inspectors or police civilians who were transcribing the results just kept writing zeros and didn't stop when they got to Obama.
You, in fact, put some hard numbers in your article talking about how in a Harlem district where it was 141-0, the vote now stands, and this was at the time of your article, at 261-136.
That's true.
So as these votes were reevaluated, was there any move by either camp to challenge what had gone down in the record books?
No, well, you've got to remember that New York has a history of confusion, incompetence, and even occasional corruption when it comes to the voting process. Gordon Davis did say that, and he was the Obama poll watcher, was kind of skeptical. He said that, well, first it was reported 141-0, now it's 261-136, and then he pointed out this is an assembly district that went 12,000 for Barack Obama to 8,000 for Clinton. So he said, I was watching like a hawk, but how did I know the machine had a mind of its own? Gordon Davis comes from Chicago, so he knows what it's like to for the machines to have minds of their own. But there wasn't any real sense that corruption had taken place or that the election was fixed. In fact, one person who worked for the Obama campaign, who's very familiar with New York politics, said, these people don't fix elections like this that don't count, a presidential election. They care much more about district leader or assembly elections where they do have a much bigger stake.
Now, the State National Democratic Committee did its own audit of sorts, and one of the issues that also came up is what happened to independents. Some people, you know, may have wanted to vote as Democrats, but maybe they were registered as independents. Was that a factor?
That was definitely a factor, not so much in these non-counting, but in terms of affidavit ballots and people who got to the polls and discovered they weren't registered or didn't appear to be enrolled as Democrats. A lot of people said, philosophically or ideologically, we don't like either of the parties, we're going to be independent, and then never enrolled in a party. And on primary day, on February 5th, when they got to the polls, they discovered they were not listed in the Democratic rolls. And in New York, you've got to be enrolled in a party in order to vote in that party. Primary. So they were not allowed to vote, and many of them were upset. Many of them may have forgotten that they had enrolled officially as independents and not within a particular party, and it caused a great deal of frustration, undoubtedly. And if those independents had registered as Democrats, probably a larger number of them would have been voting for Obama.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to stick around while we bring in a Harlem voter, Sandra Richardson. Sandra, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Now, tell me about your district, where exactly it is, and why it was important for you to go out and vote.
I belong to District 5, and I wanted to, you know, make sure that I voted because I wanted to make sure Obama's vote counted that day.
Where's District 5? Give me an intersection. I used to live in New York City.
135th and Broadway.
Okay, 135th and Broadway, so in the center of Harlem. And so when you saw Obama didn't receive any votes in the initial results, what did you think?
I was concerned because he should have had at least one, which was mine, and they were saying he had none.
And, you know, what happened when you went to vote in the primary?
The first thing that happened is when I went in, normally, you know, you're registered in the book that they have, and they seem to could not have found my name, first off. So in light of the fact of my name not being in the book, they told me I had to use the absentee ballot in order to have my vote registered. So I used the absentee ballot thinking that would be counted, and then, like I said, come to find out, they were saying he didn't have any vote.
Did you feel initially that casting an absentee ballot was going to, did you fear that it was going to put your vote at risk just to cast an absentee ballot as opposed to a regular ballot?
I did, because when I voted the last time, I didn't feel that my vote was counted either.
Now, do you know if the vote actually did count in these revised versions? Do you have any sense, Sandra, of whether or not your vote counted in the end?
No.
Sam, what about that? Do you think that her vote was counted in the end?
Well, I think, frankly, that it probably was counted. It's very important to remember, and the Board of Elections keeps reminding us of this, that the count on election night is a very, very unofficial, informal count. It's done for the convenience of the press and, obviously, by extension to the public. But then, under the law, the Board of Elections conducts its official canvass, which may take weeks. It involves the count from the back of the machines, which certainly would have corrected those clerical errors in the first count. And then to that, they add the absentee ballots, and to that, they add the affidavit ballots. People probably like Sandra, who showed up at the polls and they couldn't find a registration, but she swore on a ballot that she was in fact entitled to vote, and therefore they gave her an affidavit, and it presumably counted. So again, it doesn't instill much faith in the process for sure, and it shows how haphazard it can sometimes be, but it is a reminder that those votes that come out on election night or primary night are unofficial ones.
Sandra, were you, when you had this experience, when you went to the polls and you had to file an absentee ballot, did you then go around and talk about it with your friends and your neighbors? And what kind of conversations did you have about it?
I found out that several other people had the same problem, where their names weren't listed in the book and we've been voting there for years. And now all of a sudden they couldn't find our registration and we were forced basically to use the absentee ballot.
And did people talk about, for example, talking to a city council person, or did you just say, well, you know, this is too bad and I don't know what to do about it? What action did you specifically take afterwards, if any?
We didn't. We just kind of felt a little upset about it, and then we waited to hear what the outcome would be. And then once we heard that, you know, he had no vote for Harlem, then we then at that point felt that, you know, our initial response was that it wouldn't be counted is what happened.
Sam, we asked the New York City Board of Elections to respond to the story, and a representative said that the issues were, for the most part, people showing up to the wrong polling place or voters not being properly registered for the primary, some people changing their names and not reporting a name change. And so looking, you know, from a 1,000-mile-up perspective, do there need to be some changes, you think, that make things easier for voters to understand how they need to register, whether it's on a party level, whether it's, you know, all of these other issues of name and address? Is that part of the problem?
Well, I think there are two problems. One is the public needs to be better educated and informed, that's for sure. And the rules, as we've seen with people closely following the contests in many different states this year and the end of last year, show there are different rules in different states. So people may not be familiar with the rules, when you have to register, how late you can change parties before the primary, things like that. The other problem, as Mayor Bloomberg in New York correctly points out, is that the Board of Elections is about the last vestige of formal patronage left in New York. It is very much controlled by the Democratic and Republican political organizations, has resisted for any number of reasons anything resembling efficiency or competence, and you've got a number of officials there trying to do their best against a system that just doesn't generate efficiency and productivity and great competence, frankly. And I think that's one of the big problems that New York voters have always had to face.
Sandra, if you were going to give some advice to someone who's going to vote either in one of the upcoming primaries or just in the general election in November, what would you say?
Actually, I'm not really sure. I was going to ask for some advice because I was concerned, like I said, with the fact that my name not being in the book. Is there something that I need to check to find out, retrace, you know, in order to find out what went wrong?
Sam, we have very little time, but what advice would you give?
I think that's a very good idea. I think you should call the Board of Elections and make sure that you are enrolled. And if they can't do that over the phone, then ask them to send you an enrollment form so you can re-enroll to make sure that for November you won't have any trouble voting at all.
All right. Well, both of you, it's been great talking. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent for the New York Times, and Harlem voter Sandra Richardson.